urgent action needs to be taken to curb the epidemic of heart disease, diabetes and cancer sweeping low and middle income countries. This is according to experts meeting in New York for the United Nations Summit on Non-Communicable Diseases. These have in the past mainly affected affluent countries. I asked Professor Martin McKee about the reasons for holding this summit meeting right now.
This meeting is being held because a number of countries, particularly those in the Caribbean, have been particularly concerned about the growing epidemic of non-communicable diseases worldwide, and they see the need for a global response to them. They look back to 10 years ago in 2001 when world leaders came together to talk about another health crisis, and that was HIV/AIDS. And that led to all sorts of important things happening, the creation of a global fund against AIDS, TB and malaria, ratcheting up access to medicines, looking at the way in which we could extend treatment to people who otherwise had no hope of getting it. That was seen as a great success, and that's what they're trying to replicate.
We generally think of non-communicable diseases being diseases of the West, so heart disease, cancer, diabetes, diseases of affluence, but you said there is now pressure from the Caribbean and other parts of the world.
Well, that certainly was the case because, of course, so many people were dying prematurely in low-income countries from infectious diseases, but we've made tremendous strides in combating infectious disease with immunisation, antibiotics and better hygiene and so on. And that means that people are living longer. But it's not only that they're living longer, it's also that they're now being exposed to the risk factors for those diseases in the West: poor diet, reduced physical activity and particularly tobacco.
What are the big challenges facing everybody and in particular health planners right now then?
Well, for health planners, the challenge is to try to configure their health systems in a way that will respond to these particular conditions. In a way, it's relatively easy to treat acute conditions. If you think of a young baby with diarrhea and vomiting and they need oral rehydration therapy, that's a simple, straightforward, one-off intervention, and that can be done. But the management of somebody with diabetes, with a lifelong condition where they need to take insulin over many over the rest of their life, and where they get complications affecting their legs, their kidneys, their eyes, their heart, all of those things is a much greater level of complexity.
And how bad is the situation at the moment internationally?
Oh, the situation is becoming much worse. So a woman in Africa now is about four times as likely to die from a non-communicable disease as a woman in the West. The situation has been changing very rapidly indeed.
Why?
Well, for the fact that populations are older, and also the exposure, greater exposure to the risk factors, smoking, inadequate diet and reduced physical activity. People moving into cities, for example, when people move away from the fields and move into cities, then they walk much less. So we see rising rates of obesity. We also see them moving away from some of the traditional diets. We see the active marketing of junk food, of sugary drinks. So, for example, if you look at the common colas, that type of thing in Africa. Yes, it's possible to buy the diet version that we see in the West, but only in the large international hotels and typically at about double the price of the sugary version. So people really have very restricted choices compared to when they lived in their villages.
Now, all of the experts meeting at the UN summit, what are the things that actually can be done?
We would like to see some commitment to improve our ability to measure the burden of disease. One of the problems so far has been that many countries don't have adequate vital registration systems. People die without us ever knowing what they died from. Now, that has been improving greatly, both with the expansion of routine statistical systems, but also what we call sentinel surveillance sites, areas like the In-Depth Network in Africa, where in a small community they will measure the burden of disease, burden of adult mortality. So we want to know something about more about the burden of disease and to set some goals for where we want to be. We want to see a commitment to increased resources to be spent on non-communicable diseases. We would like to see greater access to essential medicines and a package that would bring all of these things together.
10 years ago, when the HIV summit was held, action was taken, and I think we can all see that all around the world there has been a big improvement, not to say that HIV has gone away. What are your hopes for non-communicable diseases?
Well, if I'm to be absolutely realistic about what I hope will come out, what I expect to come out of this, it's rather disappointing because the negotiations have now stalled. Some of the high-income countries, the European Union and the United States, have blocked action on a number of key elements, particularly having some quantifiable goals to meet, a commitment to increased funding, and a commitment to urge changes in tax regimes, for example, that would encourage people to move away from some of the high-energy sugary foods and from tobacco. So my expectations, unfortunately, at this point, are not very high. I would hope that we could find some way of overcoming that, but unfortunately the time is getting very short.
Do you favour things like laws and changes in taxes over, for instance, negotiation with industry to make the quality of life better?
We now have overwhelming evidence that voluntary agreements achieve very little. That has been seen time and time again. Of course, where you can get agreement and where there are areas where you, for example, find shared interests, it may be that food companies have a financial interest in promoting some of their more healthy foods, and that's fine, you can certainly go along with that, but ultimately you do need the legislation. Bans on smoking in public places, for example, increased taxes on tobacco, taxes on alcohol, enforcement of laws against smuggling, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, the law has to be there as part of an integrated strategy. Voluntary agreements can take us so far, but they're not enough on their own.
Professor Martin McKee from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. For Audio News, I'm Peter Goodwin.